Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. So before we get on to today's show and guests, first, I want to give a massive thank you to everyone who joined us for CEO Summit in Victoria, British Columbia. Special shout out to the Destination Victoria team. It was a great event. Hope you got a chance to join us there. But on to the next show, the big show. And it is big because it's in Texas and everything's bigger in Texas. Hopefully you caught the registration happening for our annual convention happening in Dallas, Texas this July. It's going to be a big event, a great event. Please hope to come check us out there. If you're part of the committees or doing CDME, there's a lot of pre-event activation to check out. But for all the information, check out destinationsinternational.org and hope to see you there in Dallas for annual convention. All right. So today's conversation, it's really all about shipbuilding. And I apologize, everyone, for all the various ship analogies I'm going to throw in here, but don't get many chances to do this. We understand running a destination is already tough. Managing one now through a pandemic is even tougher. But let's add a unique equation to this. What about actually trying to create a brand new destination through a once in a century event? We hope with the pandemic. So today's guest is all about what is it like to launch a ship in the roughest of waters and somehow steer it through to the other side in hopes of finding prosperity and vitality for one's community. Please welcome to the show, Jeff Lawson, Vice President of Tourism of Lake Champlain Chamber, AKA Hello Burlington, Vermont. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Andreas. Thanks so much. I actually have to say I am shocked that you're using the shipbuilding terminology because that is exactly what we used through the process of doing this.
I don't get to use it often, but I do think there's a lot of similarities between what you and your organization has done and to someone who's looking out in the water and saying, okay, I want to take this ship and take it there. How do I get that? So I appreciate that acknowledgement. So for the audience's benefit, just Jeff, a little bit of background of yourself, your role, and obviously the origin of Hello Burlington.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll start with the Hello Burlington part. We are about technically maybe 4.5 years old at this point in time. The initiative got started under the Chamber umbrella in late 2018 prior to my arrival. And essentially what had happened at that point was a group of hotels around the greater Burlington region had seen for decades and decades what other destinations were doing, both in terms of leisure travel as well as in terms of promoting meeting and conference business, and had longed for that for a long time, had never really gotten any buy-in from local government in any way, and ultimately just decided that they were going to do it themselves and figure out a funding mechanism that would work for them, figure out an organizational structure that would work for us moving forward. And it was about 3 months or so after they sort of put those basic building blocks in place that I came on board as the Vice President of Tourism and hence the director of Hello Burlington. At that point in time, it was called the Burlington Regional Marketing Organization, which I think they just decided in a meeting one day would be the interim moniker. That was sort of issue number one, is finding a snappier name. In terms of myself, I'm a local guy born and raised in Burlington. Sixth generation Vermonter, so you can't throw a rock around here without hitting someone I'm related to, which has sort of been helpful and sort of been a little bit of a curse too. It kind of depends on the day and the person, I guess you could say.
So two parts I want to pick a part of that. One is obviously just for the audience, what was your background before this? I want to cement the DMO by trade is not your, you know,
no,
your starting point.
No, short of a couple of restaurant gigs in my late teens and early 20s, this is actually my first job in hospitality. Basically my background prior to was about 20 years or so. I was a commercial video producer, video editor, and audio engineer in both basically in this area as well as sometimes Boston, New York, Montreal. And essentially, I was doing that for a long enough time, and video became more and more prominent in the marketing portfolio that over time, I spent less time, pressing record and more time sort of strategizing 360 degree campaigns and figuring out which channels video would fit in and how. So I had a little bit deeper of a marketing background than your average video producer, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. But really, in terms of my experience with destination marketing or hospitality, this was actually step number one. It's kind of ironic. And I feel really fortunate to have gotten this opportunity.
The second part of this, and I think may surprise a lot of listeners, is just a brand new DMO in Vermont. I think many of us from the outside see tourism as this essential export of Vermont. I mean, one of my favorite movies and scenes of all time is White Christmas, probably like a many who watch it every season. And they think of that moment when Bing Crosby gets on the train, you know, from Florida, which seems kind of crazy now, to Vermont and, you know, all the images you can imagine of Vermont. People, I have to believe in there's this entrenched, but you're talking about a brand new DMO, which I think might surprise when that kind of leads to my next question is why? Why do you just think that is that origin point of why now, I should say?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And it's important to point out too, you're talking about a DMO in the state's largest city. I mean, This isn't like some smaller town that realized it had some opportunity here. This is the biggest city in the state by far, trying to get this thing up and off the ground in 2019, probably what, 30, 40, 50 years behind our competitors. I think really what that speaks to is the fact that Vermont just has a very awkward and uneasy relationship with its own visitor economy. There's no question whatsoever, it's one of the most important economic drivers. Really, most people would say it's the second largest after manufacturing in our economy as a whole. And yet, there is an odd cultural sort of divide here, if you will. You will often hear the terms native and flatlander thrown mm-hmm. around pretty loosely. And I think while we definitely see ourselves as very warm and welcoming people and warm and welcoming communities, the whole idea of tourism just isn't something a lot of people are fully, fully comfortable with. And I think in a large part, there may be some historical issues around that I probably can't get into too much. But, you know, at one point in time, Vermont was its own country. Not long after the Revolutionary War, before going back into becoming the 14th state. But I wonder if there isn't some strange resentment to the fact that some stuff went on there where we weren't actually accepted into the Union originally and had to wait however many years it was. Who knows? That's somebody's doctoral thesis. And I also think the other factor in this is simply the strength of the destination. Anybody who's been to Vermont really remembers the place as really exceptionally charming, you know, culturally inspiring. Also just the access to the incredible outdoors in a very, very rural area that's so close to so many on the Atlantic seaboard. I think locally there's for a long time been an impression that we don't have to try. People mm-hmm. are just going to come anyway. So why would we bother? Why would we bother marketing and promoting Vermont as a destination for folks? So I think that slowly started to change a little bit as people understand more and more the connection between travel, tourism, and talent attraction, workforce development, economic development. We do face some demographic challenges in the state, an aging workforce, for example, and have slowly come around to realize that travel and tourism might be our secret weapon in answering some of those things. Also realizing we're, like I said, a couple decades behind getting that ball rolling.
Well, this all helps set the backdrop a little bit about you taking the helm here, but again, I want to go in a little bit further just about the biggest city in this state. Just describe a little about the community of Burlington in context to the state of Vermont and New England in general.
Sure. Yeah. So Burlington is by far the biggest city in the state of Vermont, and that is by far not saying very much. Really, Burlington itself is about 45,000 people, and that's when UVM is in session with somewhere between 10 and 12,000 students, both undergrad and graduate. But we're parked up in the northwestern quadrant of the state. We're about 45 minutes from the Canadian border, probably about an hour and 45 minutes from Montreal, you know, and we're actually far closer to Montreal than we are to any major American city. We're also sitting on the shores of Lake Champlain, which is just a really, really beautiful and majestic body of water. Chittenden County, where we're seated, is by far the most populous, is definitely the economic engine of the state. There's actually always a little bit of push and pull between Chittenden County, which most people just refer to as Burlington, and the rest of the state. And there's an old joke that goes, what's the best thing about Burlington? And the punchline is that it's so close to Vermont. So that's how locals feel about it. Most of our research indicates visitors don't feel that way at all. But that definitely is something that we sort of, a tension that we deal with there between Burlington and the rest of the state. But demographically, you know, Vermont is one of the most racially homogenous states in the union. And relatively speaking, Burlington has a lot of ethnic, cultural, and racial diversity that the rest of the state doesn't. That's relatively speaking, in absolute terms, I wouldn't make that statement. But we're also economically more diverse with the university located there and the university medical center located there. And the only major airport in the state is also located right in town. So we have a lot of things going for us that the rest of the state doesn't necessarily have immediate access to.
And again, all this helps with sort of the backdrop of you now taking the helm. And that's the part that I wanted to get into here is after the decision was made to, you know, start a brand new DMO and you got the job, what was your sort of first impressions of what you're going to be responsible for and what your direction will be going forward?
Yeah. So, you know, it's important to note, too, that there actually was a statewide meeting and convention bureau in town, the Vermont Convention Bureau, that was also run out of the Lake Champlain Chamber at that point in time. So I actually ended up taking the Hello Burlington job as well as running the Vermont Convention Bureau simultaneously when I first came on board. It's just that we didn't talk that much about the VCB job. It was really all about building a brand for Burlington. And so as we went through, I sort of sweet talked my way through three interviews and ended up getting this job and really was sort of under the impression that this was kind of like a straightforward marketing gig. You know, we needed to build a brand. We need to develop a visual identity system. We need to develop some campaigns and a website and social channels. And we'd, you know, get our messaging in line and we'd roll that out. And it'd be pretty straightforward. And I think the first question I got from the first staff member I met with was whether we could reassess the statewide distribution lists in our sales pipeline or something like that. And I realized in that moment, like, I may have signed on for something I don't quite understand. Anyway, it was a little bit of a trial by fire sort of getting the sales part of this job under my belt. But even bigger than that was sort of realizing that there was a lot of explaining to do. There was a reason we were so far behind our competitors in getting this thing up and running. And that is that nobody really understood the value of this. They really didn't understand what the visitor economy brought to our economy. They didn't really understand that our entire initiative was simply about bringing more business to local business. I think it's an impression that we still fight where you'll talk to, say, legislators or elected officials or even business owners in places. And they kind of seem to have the impression that tourism promotion is about like handing envelopes of cash out in hotel lobbies to people who are coming in from out of town. We haven't quite been able to get all the way there, but have made great progress convincing people that this is all about local. It's all about local business, and it's all about stewarding the visitor economy in a way that's going to help us locally. But all of that advocacy work, I had no idea that was going to be part of this job. And it's a massive part of this job. I think anyone who runs a DMO understands that in that chair, it's a lot less about marketing than it is about board relations, community relations, and advocacy work.
Well said. So to continue the ship analogies here, you know, from shipbuilder to ship captain, when someone tries to set sail, right, they're looking at their maps, looking at the port, looking at the waters ahead, saying, okay, it's going to take us this amount of time, you know, this kind of stuff. Most people are probably on the onset thinking, okay, I'm going to do this. And by the way, a 100-year pandemic now occurs, probably you'd be like, oh, crap, what did I get myself into? I want to get into that question, but I just want to ask again to help with context. When you describe the pandemic and the backdrop of it, how would you describe Vermont's response to the pandemic? Because that will help kind of really get into navigating it for the audience to understand.
Yeah. So I think relative to the rest of the nation, Vermont's response was pretty severe. We went into lockdown really quickly. We had very high adoption rates of vaccines. We had mandatory quarantines for residents or visitors coming into the state for a 2-week window for a very, very long time. We also had those steps taken by a Republican governor, much out of sync with the Trump administration, which was a very Vermont-y scenario there. It's just kind of the way we do things. This is all to say, though, that basically the pandemic hit us hard and hit us right square in the nose coming right out of the gate. It was a very, very challenging time. We're also, as I mentioned, right up against the Canadian border. Yep. And those guests obviously dissipated almost overnight. You know, nothing will stop the flow of international travel like an international border closure. So that was a big hit for us as well. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, we definitely sort of laugh at this point in time and think to ourselves, you know, we picked like the worst possible time in 100 years to get this thing off the ground. I mean, we got our logo back on March 18th of 2020, just in time to sort of look at it over our desks and open up the desk drawer, tuck the thing in there, close it, and realize like we're not going to be using this thing anytime soon. So no, nobody's getting business cards. We're not printing stationery. We're like cutting costs wherever we can. As time's gone on, though, you know, what that opportunity presented to us, what that catastrophe presented to us, was really clear talking points, particularly for the business community, where you could say, okay, now that you don't have any visitors for X number of months, this is what we're trying to cultivate. This mm-hmm. is what we're trying to steward. This is why we've been saying that this is important. Take a look at your cash register with nobody from out of town putting money into it. This is why we've tried to get this thing up and off the ground. And it definitely accelerated a lot of those conversations for us, where you used to kind of have to bang your head on the wall till people liked the sound of it. And people sort of picked up on that right off. They didn't necessarily have the funding to support us per se. And we didn't, you know, our funding was massively affected by this, as was everybody's, I think. But it definitely helped us. And in a weird way, we sort of say now, maybe, you know, we might have picked the best time in the last 100 years to get this thing up and off the ground, because people see the value in it. They appreciate it. They understand tourism in a way that they just didn't prior to the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, you're really describing sort of the nitty-gritty 101 of brand building through this whole exercise. I mean, under the guise of the pandemic and emphasizing it might have been the best times, how would you describe the brand, you know, of Vermont and Burlington surrounding all this?
So that's actually one of the reasons we got this thing going in the first place. You know, the Vermont brand is actually remarkably strong, whether you're talking about a travel destination or you're talking about food or craft beer, for example. The Vermont brand's definitely associated with authenticity, with quality, with pride in all of its facets and factors. In terms of the destination, in fact, it's so strong, it almost seemed like it was a little harmful to us, in the sense that it's very rural. It's very much about skiing and snowboarding, maple syrup, foliage, cows, covered bridges, all fantastic, great things that we value very much in Burlington as well as the rest of the state. But it didn't necessarily have room for a small city. You know, it didn't necessarily have room for a vibrant, you know, event calendar and a great nightlife. And so we really thought that our challenge was to figure out a way to kind of articulate our own brand story under that larger Vermont umbrella, which is already such a great architecture, and how to differentiate ourselves within that brand without alienating that brand as a whole, because it is already so valuable and strong and also is part of us.
Yeah, which are incredible achievements. I mean, part of my reconnaissance for this show. So again, what are some timelines here? Brand new DMO, 2019, pandemic, 2020. Under this and your tenure and then the organization, we launched a new DMO, a brand, a website, community relations, advocacy. That's a lot, but I got to ask, like, what's been the hardest part of any one of those things? Because many of those are full-time occupants on their own. You try to do them all. I'm just curious, what was the hardest aspect of those?
You know, I think for me, the hardest part of it was actually not any of the strategic or tactical marketing initiatives. It was really the advocacy part. And I'm not talking about the pandemic advocacy part, because we went from being like a marketing initiative to like a lobbying initiative mm-hmm. overnight when the pandemic came. And talk about being a fish out of water there. Good Lord. But really, the advocacy part on a local level with a lot of entities that we just kind of went into it assuming would be thrilled to hear that we were doing this. And in that, I would include local governments, who just obviously, you know, the conversations are getting a little better now. They obviously, like everyone, had their hands full during the pandemic. But even in that initial year before we were public facing in 2019, you kind of assumed that cities and towns would be psyched to hear about this and lend a little support. Or even, you know, we never even asked them for money. We just said, hey, do you want to come sit in on some of our branding research and give mm-hmm. us your input? Some showed up, some didn't. And also, you know, in Vermont, there's a lot of incredibly positive intentions, and that results in a lot of 501c3s and c6s. And since this had been kind of a void on that spectrum where nobody was doing destination marketing, a lot of different entities were doing just a tiny little bit of that. They wouldn't have called it destination marketing, but they would do a little intermittent initiative here or a little thing there, which was great because there was nobody doing it. But we did find that some of the folks we thought would be really, really good allies were sort of slow to come around. And we're definitely making progress there. But being the new kid on the block doesn't always mean you're super welcome.
Yeah. I mean, Jeff, you and team have done yeoman's work, extremely commendable through everything this. I don't want to say we're through the pandemic because you never know what variant might come our way, but we have some benefit now of hindsight. Anything you kind of wish you could do over, knowing what you know now? I mean, I think pandemic years are dog years, so you know you could treat it as such, but I'm just curious, anything you wish, like, man, what I know now, if I could just do this over again, start differently, just curious.
I think if I could do anything over again, it might be in 2019, in that year where we weren't publicly facing. We were just kind of getting the structure and the foundation together. It might have made a lot of sense to start to bring in or do our research and find a lot of really relevant case studies to help people understand maybe not just why travel and tourism and the economic impact thereof are important, but also to understand how they can ladder up and out into economic development and talent attraction and real estate relocation. We talked a really good game on that. And I think that helped us a great deal. But when the pandemic arrived, all we were able to do, given we were we were embryonic and our funding was cut and slashed, we had no brand awareness. We were still only able to talk about the concept for another couple of years until our newest website launched in October of last year. And finally, people started realizing, oh, this is the proof of the concept. This is the thing they've been talking about. And that's been a really great calling card for us, where we've got all kinds of different businesses letting us know that they're pointing people over to the website. All of our hotel partners are pointing all of their meeting leads over to the website when planners are asking them what to do. That would have been really, really valuable. There might have been some value in bringing in some consultants to sort of talk to some of those municipalities and help them understand why we needed to operate on a regional level. Mm-hmm. As a bunch of even if we're the biggest towns in the state, we're still wicked small towns. And, I think it might have helped to bring in some outside expertise with some solid examples to help people understand how we can collectively do this much, much more effectively than everybody going out on their own. Those would probably be my two biggest do-overs if I could have them.
Yeah, understandable. Jeff, I mean, I appreciate all your time with me recording this. I have a question very unique for you, but any advice you'd give for someone trying to launch their own brand new destination organization? What would you say?
Oh, boy. I think probably a couple of things. I would definitely say just be aware. It says marketing in the title, but there's a lot of other pieces to it. And when you're running one of these things, you often get to do less of the marketing than you might like. And you have to do the other organizational work, the admin, the organizational development, the advocacy work, because that's ultimately key. And that's the shelter that you can provide to staff so that they can do that marketing work and make that work. I think I would probably also say, like, pace yourself. It's we would laugh sometimes in the office because we would say Winooski wasn't built in a day. You know, Winooski is like the little small town next to Burlington. And it's like, we would sort of chuckle about that, but it takes time. It takes time to sort of ideate the concept. It takes time to implement it. It takes time to prove it. It takes time for people to understand. And you really want to pace yourself and understand this road is long. And so we always, every decision we make, we ask ourselves, like, so the folks who come after us, how is this going to affect them? You know, the person who's sitting in this chair in 10 years, how is this going to affect them? And then the last thing I would suggest, and this is going to sound like a shameless plug, but it's absolutely 100% true, is connect with your peers. You know, it is stunning to me how hospitable people in the hospitality industry are. You know, we were able to reach out to direct competitors, you know, and they would, a day after we sent them the email, carve an hour out of their schedule to talk to us and give us, you know, more or less trade secrets to help us get going. They were curious, they were inquisitive. And then connecting with DI was a huge thing for us where, you know, and actually you've done it for me before too, when I've called in and said, hey, I have a question about this or that, the other thing. And before you know it, I'm talking to someone on the West Coast who's been through this, the waters that I'm about to navigate, and they give us advice and they give us counsel. And I genuinely hope that at some point we get to reciprocate both to the people and entities that helped us as well as to people who are trying to get something like this off the ground themselves.
That's a wonderful end cap. If people want to get in contact with you or learn more about the work you all have done at Hello Burlington, where can they best find you?
Oh, they can find us online at helloburlington.com, and same handle for all of our social channels. But they can definitely email me anytime, jeff@helloburlingtonvt.com, or they can just call you, Andreas, because you've got you've given everybody your cell phone number, I think.
That's actually pretty accurate. So
yeah,
again, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate all your time on the show today. And thank you to you, the audience. So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisborn, and Jeff Lawson on this month's episode of The Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or checking out our content through the advocacy section at the website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.